Welcome to The Mindfulness Habit with Kirsty O'Brien. Each week you'll hear the real stories, struggles and habits of other female entrepreneurs as they strive to achieve and manage harmony in their working and home life. I'll also be giving you tools and the support you need to manage your energy better inside and outside of work, helping you create lasting habits that cultivate a mindful state of mind and a life by design. Hello and welcome back to The Mindfulness Habit. And I have Crystal from, I want to get this right, the Designed Life Method. And she is a feng shui expert. Hello, Crystal.
Hello, Kirsty. It's so good to be here.
And so I did get that right because I talked about that just with you a minute ago. It's feng shui, isn't it?
Yes, feng shui.
And you're also a clutter expert. So I love that because I really feel like we get so many attachments and have so much clutter in our minds, our physical space.
For sure. I have to agree with you completely.
So I found Crystal through a Facebook group from memory, which I always love. And would you mind just sharing a little bit of your story of what led you to, you know, use this as a business helping people?
Well, goodness, sometimes I never know where to start and how to explain the story with clutter. You know, it was sort of a my life's work, to be quite honest with you. It was part of my healing journey and part of my career as I grew. So I actually grew up in a really abusive household when I was a child. And I was introduced to energy work pretty young. And so it was something that I studied just more for fun, you know, as I was growing up. Manifestation and magic and law of attraction and all of those things, trying to really change my life. Right. Growing up in an abusive household, I always wanted to have a different life or be a different person or have a different person's life. Yeah. And so as I got older, when I was in college, I went to school to be an interior designer. And it was during my psychology class, actually, that our teacher assigned us to write a paper, of course. Right. And it had to be on a topic related to our field of study, but a psychology paper. And so I chose to write my paper on feng shui. It was something that I didn't really know a lot about yet. I knew it had to do with energy work and obviously had to do with the home and interior design, but I really wasn't quite sure of the connection. And so I was still the type A personality of I wanted to get that straight A, you know, and do good. So I really dove into the feng shui thing when I was in college there. And at the end of our quarter, I was really more confused than I was at the beginning because there was so much misinformation out there. And so I kind of put that on the back burner as I finished my design degree and went into my career as an interior designer. And a couple of years into my career, I was living and working in Hawaii. And I was working in very high-end residential design. And we had submitted a design to a client and they sent it back with the feng shui is wrong, right? They were from China. The Asian population in Hawaii is very big. And so these clients were from China. They were familiar with feng shui. They already knew some of the principles. They looked at it and nope, sent it back. And so my boss had asked like if anybody knew anything about feng shui, and I was sort of very tentative, like, you know, like I was only a couple of years into my career. So I wasn't yet, you know, like the superstar, but had that opportunity to kind of put myself out there. And I can tell you it was super, super stressful because I didn't really feel like I knew anything yet, right? I had all this misinformation from these books, but I was like, let me see what I can do, right? It's a chance to shine. And so I took that on and it went okay, but I really felt that imposter syndrome, like seriously raising its ugly head. And so after that, I actually went and started and looked for and found a college, a feng shui institute. And so I started studying feng shui professionally. And everywhere I looked, everything I studied, they talked about clutter. But the only thing it really talked about is that it stagnates the energy, right? And the whole purpose of feng shui is to get the energy flowing in your space. So when there's a blockage or clutter stagnating it, that's a sort of a red flag. But nothing really talked more about it, you know, when in all of my classes that I was taking on feng shui. And so I've always kind of been an avid declutterer. And at the same time, I was diving into my healing journey of going into some personal development classes and really trying to heal all of the trauma from my childhood. And so I was doing these two things at once, right? Healing this trauma and studying feng shui and really starting to dive into everything I could find about clutter. Other, you know, books that other experts had written, or, you know, creating my own sort of PhD program, honestly, in clutter. And as I was going along, I started taking on clients to do the feng shui of their space. And what I was finding was they would all get stuck in the clutter. And I started really connecting the dots and started putting it together one little piece at a time. And eventually, a few years into this, I started really, it really started to make a lot of sense to me. But I hadn't really like taken it in as part of me yet. It was just like this intellectual knowledge, but it wasn't like in my soul knowledge, if that makes a whole lot of sense. And I was working at a job and I got hurt at work and I couldn't walk anymore. And so I with this whole big workman's comp battle, I wound up basically stuck on bed rest in a wheelchair at home. And I'd always wanted to have my own business. So I really decided, well, now's the time. Like, my job's not interfering. I guess now's a good time to start a business. And so I started like putting all of this effort into starting a business. Meanwhile, I'm battling this insurance company over getting the medical treatment I need for my injury. And I went to a very dark place. Like, battling with insurance and workman's comp is not a fun thing. They really just beat my self-worth into the ground. Like, I, for some reason, me as a human was not worth the $100 to go to the doctor, right? They didn't deem me worthy. And so it took me to this really bad place. At the same time, my body was deteriorating. Like, I'm trying to build this business. Like, my life was really coming apart. And I hired a coach to sort of get me started, right? In business and figure out, because I'd started many businesses before and failed at every single one of them. And so as about 6 months after I'd hired her, she hired me to design her new office. And I had said to her, like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. I only do it with feng shui included. And she was like, okay, I'm all in. Like, this is great. Let's do it. And we sat down for the, like, the profiling part and all of the things that she would need. And I was immediately reminded of something I had learned when I worked in residential design, working with all those entrepreneurs about how they live differently behind the scenes. And so she needed all these like self-care spaces in her office. And I thought, well, if I'm going to model myself after my mentor and coach, I need to do the same thing in my house. I know the secret of self-care, right? That's what they don't teach you about how to become the next level version. And so I created this self-care space for myself with the feng shui principles, right, based there, to help really use the energy of my space to amplify the healing journey that I was about to go on and try to conquer with my body. because everything was deteriorating, and I could see, like, I'm going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life if I don't do something. And so it kind of started there. I started doing yoga to heal myself, and I started, as my body started loosening up a little bit, I started getting this like mental clarity. And it was, you know, maybe 8 or 9 months later that she challenged me to do this 30-day live stream on Facebook to, you know, to grow my business. And in trying to figure out, like, all right, well, how can I make this valuable for people? I came up with this idea to do a spring cleaning thing. And in the process of doing it, I finally applied what I knew about clutter to myself as I was teaching it, right? I was teaching it, and I'd be like, okay, today we're going to do paper. And I shredded all the paper in my house, and today we're going to do this. And all of a sudden it was like breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough of all this stuff. And I was like, oh, like now I see how it works. Like now it all makes sense to me. And I started having all of this healing from all of the trauma as I was pulling out this declutter. And it was sort of how I developed my declutter your mindset method. It's inside of my overall big method of how I work with people. I really honed in on that clutter piece because I really started to see where that was the missing piece of it being the reflection of what's going on internally and what's going on externally, and how it really is the key to the healing journey and doing the decluttering of all of those physical, mental, and emotional clutter that holds us back. So, and then eventually I started teaching it to other people and helping them really do the same thing. I put my business on hold, right? It was slow and I was making progress, but I hit a wall at this point. And I put everything on hold and literally just focused on the healing of my body.
Yeah.
And about 6 months later that a girlfriend came to me, same business coach. And she had said her coach told her to make a self-care space and she had done it and it wasn't working. Like she wasn't using it. She wasn't inspired by it. She'd had this vision and it kind of wasn't, it didn't turn out like, and she was like, can you help me? What can I do to make it better? And I was like, aha, I have a business idea. I know what I can do to help you. And I literally a month later, I launched what became like a group program, to teach people how to use feng shui to create peace and prosperity and create the self-care space and really get them in alignment with the energy and create this space that they can really connect with themselves and heal that trauma. And then I would teach them this decluttering method of how this all works. And yeah, I ended up having surgery then the same week that I launched it, like the whole thing just kind of all came together as this one moment of purpose, like this is what I was here for.
Wow. Wow. What a story. Well, no wonder you didn't know where to begin.
Right. Those are the highlights. Like,
amazing.
There's so many pieces. There's so many pieces that just weave together that make the whole story that really explain how I got here, because there is so many parts to it.
And is it, I find that happens a lot in life when you look back, sometimes you see the synchronicities at play that all led to get you to that purposeful moment. So amazing. I have a couple of questions. I wanted to, before we circle back to the self-care space, because I find that really, really interesting. I'm sure 99.9% of people listening have heard of feng shui and are maybe even like deeply familiar with it, But just for some people that might be actually wondering, what is it? I've heard of it. I know it's about clutter or, you know, the energy of your house. How would you explain it to somebody that's not too sure exactly what it is?
It's really about studying the flow of energy in your space and learning how to manipulate the energy or manipulate the flow so that you are in alignment with it. The thing is, we all have an energetic frequency, right? We each have our own energetic frequency, and each house also has an energetic frequency. And so we are either in alignment with those, with the frequency, or we're out of alignment with it. When we're in alignment with the energetic frequency, everything will feel smooth and in flow and life will be easy. But when we are out of alignment, then everything feels cluttered and chaos, and it's struggle and it's hard. And we flow in and out of these patterns of, and sometimes it'll be the house is not a good match. And sometimes it's just the house is a match, but where we are in our mindset and in our mental state, if that is reflecting in your home, for example, and it's cluttering up your space, it will show up there because it literally is an extension of your energetic field. And so it's designed to be that reflection. It's sort of why we're compelled to decorate our space. And why the best explanation really is like when you get sick and you want to live in a cave and be dark and there's tissues all over and it kind of gets all yucky. And you can come out of that one of two ways. You start to feel better and you feel compelled to clean, or you feel compelled to clean so that you will make yourself feel better, right? You can approach it one of two ways because it's being in alignment with the energy of your space. When you're out of alignment, yeah, you show it up and you can get back into it. And so feng shui is really about observing it and becoming aware of, oh, I'm out of alignment, let me fix that. Because once you're in alignment internally and in your space, it reflects now in your outer environment, like your career, your money, your reputation, your relationships, your health, your creativity, all of those things. All of that is reflected in your space.
Wow. Yeah, I say this to people all the time. We are energetic beings. We have to be more aware of our energy and also the energy within a space that we either create or we enter or we somehow fuck up.
Right, because it's a reflection of us. Yeah, if it's our space, it's literally reflecting what's going on internally. And so it's a mirror. It's a mirror for what's going on with you. So as a feng shui master, the goal really is to become an observer of your space and to become a master at manipulating it so that you are in alignment with your goals and your vision.
Yeah.
And so that you use it more like a 3D vision board to amplify what you want, as opposed to mirroring what you don't want, right? Or mirroring what's going on inside of you and not doing anything about it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The home is, you know, where we go. That's our haven and our sanctuary. And so if that's not working for us and somehow do you see a lot of people self-sabotaging with the energy in their own home?
Yeah. Usually that's when they come to me when clients come to me, it's usually because they are struggling with something. And they'll be struggling with clutter, but the clutter is just a reflection of what they're struggling with internally. And it's also a reflection of what they're struggling with externally. So like a lot of times clients will come to me when maybe they're not making as much money as they want to, or they don't have as many clients as they want to, or, you know, something is out of alignment with their vision. And so that's when they come to me is to correct that.
Mm. And so you said earlier that you put a self-care space in your business coach's office, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Now I find this, I love this. And I would love for you to explain a little bit more about what that actually, what, like, you know, how would you define a self-care space and the importance of putting them in our workplaces?
Well, for me, it's what is the space, the definition? I think it's that space to connect with yourself and to give yourself what you need in that moment, so that you can be the best version of you possible. And it's very important to have it in our workspace, I feel like, because that's how we show up. It's where we show up. It's our money space, right? That's, and so if that is where we're showing up for work, it's the most important space to actually have that in there, because it's the one thing that we leave out of how it works. It's the one thing that the patriarchy has not taught us about how business really works. And we have to have that, the recovery part and the healing part has to be a big piece of that. So having that in your workspace gives you that moment to step away. Just like they talk about, Napoleon Hill talks about in the book, Think and Grow Rich.
Love
He's
it.
Talking about a mental space, right? Yeah. He's talking about having this mental space and being able to go there. But you need to have a physical space to go to your mental space, right? If you're just sitting at your desk, it's one thing, but the connection is different. Now, if you have a dedicated space to go and sit, and this is where you connect, the energy there shifts, right? And it shifts you, and it gathers, it collects there. It can become an amplifier for your goals of what you're trying to do, right? You're raising energy in this space of trying to create a self-care space. That's how I believe that they work. That's what I believe a true self-care space is a space that is puts you into alignment with the vision so that you can raise energy with the activity that you're doing there.
I love it.
In order to manifest it. Like that's how the law of attraction works. That's how magic works. That's how all of these manifesting things works, is getting yourself into alignment with energy and raising the vibration of bring it to me. So we're just literally doing that in our very physical space and giving us room to do that inner work that we all have to do to keep growing. Entrepreneurship is all about a personal development game. We're always growing to the next level and the next level and the next level, but you have to have room to become that person.
Mm. No, I totally agree. And why I was so interested is when I go into workplaces and do mental health and wellbeing programs, one of the first things that I also do is create mindful meeting rooms and mindful staff areas where it's not about going for anything other than just decompressing almost. So you just know that's your space where you don't have to talk. You can just do some deep breathing or listen to something or just move away from the desk or wherever you are into that space. And same for the meeting rooms. When you go into the meeting rooms, there's an intention now of going in with calmer and clearer communication and all that type of things. And I don't hear of it happening a lot. And I really think it's exciting now to empower people that you can do business differently and in a way more that supports you on a cellular level and a soul level. So when you said soul, self-care space, I was so excited.
I love it. I couldn't do business without it. You know, I tried for the first couple of years, and shelving my business for a year was the hardest and best thing I ever did. It was so hard because I felt like I was giving up on my dream. And I also knew if I didn't focus on my health, I was going to be in a wheelchair forever, you know, at the expense of what was going on. But if I hadn't done it, I would have still been chasing the same game with the same, training, this idea. But women don't work that way. Our brains are programmed differently. We need that, you know, that time that, and I get so much more. I still do yoga every day. I will, if I can't write an email, if the words won't come, I will go jump on my yoga mat for 20 minutes and the words come. Like it's, I get more work done on my yoga mat than I do sitting at my desk every day. Like I, it happens all the time. I have hours blocked out for self-care in my schedule every week. I mean, every day I have several hours of time blocked out just because I get so much more done.
Oh, you're speaking my language.
Yeah, that's just how women operate. Our brains are literally wired differently than a man's. So we've been raised in this patriarchal vision of how business operates. And now we're trying to do it and it doesn't work for us. We have to have a different way to do it. So yeah, it was sort of a very happy accident, but it was something like I needed a reminder because it was something I knew and yet had to have my coach like, oh, yeah, that's right. I know this. I can do this. I can do this too. And yeah, the self-care part really changed everything for me.
Yeah, 100%. So you work with obviously a lot of entrepreneurs. What do you think? Because I feel like, you know, when we're running our businesses, especially in the early stages, there's such a blurring of work and home life. It's really hard to switch off. And I really try to advocate for people to share their stories of how they define work-life balance on their terms. Because I feel like even the word balance implies like you've got to have this perfect. And
I hate it. I don't.
Harmony. I would say
I love alignment. I love alignment. I love it because we don't have a work life and a home life. We have one life and we have to fit everything in it. Right. Yes. I have work activities. I have home activities. I have mom activities and wife activities and, you know, whatever. I have all these activities that have to be incorporated into my day, but I only have one life. I don't have a work life and a home. So I have alignment. So I like to make my schedule it with what aligns with what I need and where I am on my, some days I don't do work. Some days I only do home or personal, you know, other days it just depends on what do I need? What does my business need? What does my body need? What is my everything? You know, like you got to fit it all in. And there's trade-off.
Do you think, is there ways that we can tend to be, or that we could be making our, you know, when we go to work, whether it's a home office or we're going into a business, what are the ways that you see that we can sometimes be sabotaging being in alignment when we're at work and then when we're coming home into the home space, the physical home space? Are there certain things that jump out a lot that we tend to do as business owners to fuck alignment?
We tolerate a lot and we put it off a lot as not important.
Yeah.
Because dealing with our clutter is not as important as getting this funnel ready or, you know, building the sales page or, you know, writing these marketing posts or, you know, we think we have to do all these things and we keep postponing it because we just don't want to deal with it. But the truth is our clutter is what is stopping it all from working. And so our unwillingness to face that is the self-sabotage. We keep ignoring it, not really because we have more important things to do. We just don't want to face it because our clutter is all of our ish that's on the inside, right? It's all of those limiting beliefs. It's all of those mindset things. It's all of the scarcity and worthiness and obligation and all of those things that we tell ourselves that is why we're not succeeding, but we keep wanting to put it off and I'll deal with it later after I've succeeded. And so we don't face it. We just keep trying to fake it. Mm-hmm. And so we end up sabotaging ourselves because until we face it, we're never going to make it.
And I hate that saying, fake it till you make it.
Me too. I literally was just giving an interview a week ago and talking about that whole thing, fake it till you make it, and how much I hate that expression. It doesn't teach you how to make it at all. It just teaches you how to be a better faker.
Yeah, and how to, so, I think, dive deeper into feeling unworthy and
exactly, and put off longer facing what needs to be faced so that you can be successful.
Yeah.
Because it was all of the stuff that I wasn't facing that was why I failed at business after business after business. And even when I was doing this full time with no interruption and still not able to figure it out because I just wasn't willing to face the clutter.
Mm. So how does feng shui help with a limiting belief?
Well, feng shui is all about the alignment of energy in your space, right? Because your space is an extension of your energetic field. The clutter is a reflection specifically of limiting beliefs. So where the clutter is, what the clutter is, how you keep the clutter, the all of the things about the clutter is the secret. Feng shui as a whole is just the study of the energy flow and how it works. Clutter is the stagnation. Clutter is the reflection. So it's different for every person. It's different for every piece of clutter. Everybody has their own story. So when you hear the idea of, you know, I want to rewrite a new story or I want a different story, that's all in the clutter, right? One of my favorite coaches says, your mess is your message. And your message is in your clutter. Like your clutter is literally trying to tell you what's going on in your brain. And you're not hearing the message. That's what the clutter part is. That was why I sort of had to go off into my own PhD version, because feng shui doesn't teach clutter. Feng shui will just say it matters, but it doesn't dive into why. And so that's where a lot of feng shui masters miss the mark, because they don't dive into where clutter and what it is and why it's so important. We're missing the big important part, because it's just get rid of it.
Only allow what sparks joy.
Get rid of everything that's clutter and only keep what sparks joy, right? There's a great example of that. But when we're not looking at what the clutter is telling us, we're just going to keep recreating the same cycle and the same story, because we're again not facing what's really going on.
So could clutter show up in someone's business as when you continue to have an overwhelming to-do list, or your diary is constantly full without any breaks, you refuse to delegate? Is that clutter?
That's all clutter. Okay. Yeah, that's all clutter. Crappy clients, those are clutter too.
I love it. I really want people, you know, because we're talking on this energetic level and talking about, you know, the flow, I really want people to get it out of their head that it's just that physical clutter of, you know, clothes on the floor or too much paperwork, or of course, not dealing with your bills and doing your taxes, massive.
Right. But it's also your social media friends list and the clients that just make you feel, you know, like you just don't, they're bad, not bad, that's not a good word, but you know, they're the clients that are out of alignment with you and you dread them. Those are clutter too. And sometimes we take them on, especially in the beginning, because we need the money, but there's not all money is good money, right? If your money is out of alignment, it's not good money. And so, you know, even bad clients can be clutter. You know, anything and everything can be considered clutter. If it doesn't spark joy, it's clutter. But you need to look at the story of what it is. It might be a spouse, a partner, a friend. It could be a lot of things of what your clutter is. But it's the thing that's holding you back.
Yeah. Amazing. So I'm sure that a lot of people will be currently on their day and thinking, how much clutter is there? Is there one sort of big bit of clutter that you come across a lot that people don't necessarily feel is clutter, that they're just so attached to?
Usually the ones that people get stuck on are what I refer to as scarcity clutter worthiness clutter, and obligation clutter. Those are the three big ones that keep people stuck. And they will look different to each client, but it always comes down to the same things.
What would be, and what's any, like an example that you hear of, was it worthiness clutter?
Sure. I've seen it be sheets and lampshades and it can be anything.
Where we're sort of holding on to stuff to feel worthy.
Or showing up to stuff that makes us feel unworthy. Oh. Because it's reflecting what we actually believe, right?
Yeah.
Because if we don't believe that we are worthy of something better, like our skinny clothes. You've got skinny jeans in your closet, I'm sure, right? Most of us do. Someday I'll be skinny enough to fit back into these. Rather than I'm worthy of having jeans that fit me today, that make me feel good and make me look good and are comfortable on me. But here's my hammer that I can beat myself up with for not being good enough, not being skinny enough, not still fitting into my jeans. And so it looks a lot like worthiness clutter.
Oh, you've given me so much to think about. I'm going to be like reassessing my space in a whole new, because like when you really look at things on that mindset level and start to ask yourself, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Why am I making the decisions in my business? Or why am I choosing to have certain people around me? It really does unlock a deeper level of self-awareness around space.
It really does so much. Declutter your mindset, right? Yep. It's 5 steps to do so. Those are discover, diagnose, oh crap, disconnect, dissolve, and donate.
Okay, well, that was exactly what I was going to ask you. When we're like now in our space and thinking, am I in alignment? What are the steps to sort of that, you know, is there a sort of bit of self-discovery that we can do to go a little bit deeper with actually knowing how we're getting in our own way and how we can create a bit more, or what it would be better, feng shui in our space? And so you have the 5 steps down.
Right. Those are the 5 steps to declutter. Yeah. Literally to declutter your mindset, not just your physical space, but your physical, mental, and emotional clutter. It's a 5-step method that will walk you through each part of the process to be able to rewrite that story so that when you do release all of those items, all of that clutter, you don't wind up just a few months later with, you know, even more clutter, you know, like the I lost 10 pounds and gained back 20 routine. It's the same with clutter. You know, you get rid of it and all of a sudden you wind up with even more if you don't go through those steps.
Oh, I agree. Cause I feel like that's a lot of people do the Band-Aid solution. Oh, I'll clear out my wardrobe, or they just sort of pick the bits maybe that they've heard the most about feng shui, like this can't be near the door, or put this tree here.
Exactly. They want to do the easy parts, or the one size fits all parts. Like, oh, if I just do this little thing, boom, there it's done. It's my magic pill. No, there's a lot of work involved to doing it, but it's worth it. You know, that's true alignment. The fake magic pill with the little, you know, ring on the door, it doesn't work. It doesn't. It's the Band-Aid solution to a broken bone. It's exactly what it is.
And I always remember years ago, you know, someone saying, never put things under your bed. And I'm living in an apartment and I always had stuff under my bed. So I was encouraged. And I went like on this crazy mission to, you know, never have anything under my bed because I wanted the energy to flow. And then as I started studying as a life coach, I'm like, why don't we put that much care into how we think? Like, not wanting to clutter up our minds with all these bullshit beliefs. And that always just resonated with me about the, you know, never have anything under your bed, but don't worry about what you're thinking and what's taking up space there. And right. I really love how you're so mindful of the energy mentally, physically, and in the space around you, because it's not just your home or your business. It's what's going on within you where there's an energy flow too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And that's where the alignment is.
Yeah. Oh, I've loved talking to you every single minute.
Thank you. I've loved talking to you too. I could talk about this all day long. I literally could ramble for days.
You have so much expertise, but you also have lived it for so long, and you know that these principles work, which when I find people like that, they're special, you know, because you've got, this has been going on in your life for so long, and it really has just led you to sharing this gift with other people today. So you are amazing. Your story is amazing. So you have a free gift to share with the listeners.
I do have a free gift to share with with your listeners, and it is the Declutter Your Mindset method. There is a free download available at declutteryourmindset.com. You can just enter your name and email and download that right away.
Amazing.
And so that, and it will show you the 5 steps to declutter your mindset and get you started.
Oh, that, I'm going to be signing up for that straight away. So yeah, I've been reflecting on a lot of things while I've been talking. And so if someone would, you know, they've heard this, they want to know more, they know they're getting in their own way, that they're definitely out of alignment, how can they get in contact with you?
They can apply to work with me at peaceandprosperityalignment.com.
Oh, I love that. It's a beautiful website.
It's pretty easy and straightforward.
And do you have like an Instagram page where people can see it?
I do. My Instagram handle is just crystal.holm.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to link all of those for you as well, so people can just head to the episode notes, plus the link for the free download. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for your time. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Amazing. Yeah, I'd love to stay connected. Yep, I just find your work wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you loved this episode, I would be so grateful if you shared this with other people in your world. For some free mindfulness resources, to know more about my workplace programs, or to work with me privately, head on over to my website, teamko.com.au. And don't forget to connect with me over on social media at Meditate with Kirsty.